I want to introduce today's presenter. Her name is Janie Shipman. I've known her for several years. She's a wonderful colleague. I consider her a friend as well. She works at UT Dallas as a career counselor, and she's going to give you all some tips on searching for a job in today's tough economy. So please join me in welcoming Janie to our program today.
Thank you, Sherry. Good to see all of you here. What majors do we have represented today? We have an alum that was a math major.
Mathematics,
right?
Correct.
Okay. What majors?
Nursing.
I'm sorry?
Nursing.
Nursing?
Math.
Nursing.
Accounting.
Yeah. And nursing and math and?
Kinesiology.
Say again?
Kinesiology.
Okay, that's a good one. You're both kinesiology majors? Okay. So there are specific employers and specific strategies that you're going to want to employ to conduct your job searches. And I think from knowing what I know about job searching, the very idea of having to look for a job can be pretty overwhelming. You get to the point where you know you have to do it, but you don't know where to start, and everybody is full of ideas, and they're all full of advice, and you just, it's kind of huge. So what I'm going to do today is kind of help you break it down into some steps that you can follow to help yourself be more successful in your job search. And actually, one of the first things I recommend that you do is go to as many of the career services programs as you can, because Sherry and her team will be breaking things down into detail. I'll give you a general overview of a lot of things, but if you go to that workshop on how to write a resume, and you go to the one on how to conduct yourself and benefit from a career expo or a career fair, you'll be in much better shape next week and the week after that as you get into your job searching. Are any of you in a job search right now?
Yes.
Okay, and some of you are going to be starting before the end of the semester? Maybe, well, good, maybe the next semester, so you have some time to work on this. Okay. Job searching in challenging economic times is what we're talking about today. And actually, I would tell you just about any economic times are challenging. The situation has changed a lot in the last 10 years as far as whether unemployment was up or down, whether the economy was up or down. But all times really are challenging when it comes to job searching because you're out there competing with other people that want those same jobs. This particular map is from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and it shows you that in these metropolitan areas of the U.S., what the unemployment rate is like. And if you can look at Texas, you can see that Texas is mostly yellow in those metropolitan areas, which you are a part of, the DFW metropolitan area. And yellow means that we're actually below the U.S. average for unemployment. So our unemployment rate in this area is lower than it is in a lot of the rest of the U.S. In the U.S., it's 9.5%. In the DFW area recently, it was at 8.3%. So that's a positive note. And this chart right here shows you how the unemployment rates by counties in the U.S. And you see that our area right here is mostly purple, which is 7 to 9%. But last year, this area was this really dark purple. We were right at 10% unemployment rate. So it's actually improved a little bit over last year, and that's a good positive sign. And the thing that you're facing as job seekers is the fact that there are so many people out there who have been unemployed over the last couple of years, and they are experienced personnel, and they probably are out there competing for the same almost entry-level positions that you're competing for as recent college graduates. So you need to do some things that are going to make you stand out as you meet employers and as you send your resume out and talk to people. So these are some industries that are continuing to hire right now. And this information comes from the National Association of Colleges and Employers. Telecommunications, accounting and financial services, engineering, consulting, petroleum and coal products are still a growing industry because gas prices have come down. So we're still looking at petroleum and coal. Education, healthcare, and the for-profit sector. Federal government is hiring. Retail, wholesale trade is a good field. Banks, and especially investments right now, And property management and reclamation actually is a growing industry right now. We've always had property management. That's people that manage the leasing and rental properties, office buildings, apartment complexes, all of that. But the reclamation industry is the financial end of property reclamation and reselling. And when, as people foreclose on mortgages, then there are people that pick those up and resell them. And so that's actually an industry right now. Okay. So, majors that are in demand right now. This comes from a recent NACE report that says that for 2009 and 2010, these are some of the majors where students were receiving job offers prior to graduation. Engineering of just about any kind has been a good field. Computer science, accounting and finance, business, and social services. So if I'm hearing math and nursing and accounting majors and kinesiology, that's definitely healthcare related. So you all are in the majors groups that are standing a good chance of receiving a job offer before you graduate. That's encouraging. Okay, top 10, student skill sets. These are skills that employers across the board are looking for when they hire new people. It doesn't matter what your major is or what kind of job you're looking for. These skills are important to employers across the board. Communication skills, both verbal and written communication skills. And when we're talking about written communication, we're talking about not just business letters, but any kind of written business communication, memos, reports, emails. There's etiquette to writing business emails and things like spell check and grammar check that you have to be aware of. Strong work ethic. Employers want people that know what it's like to work and are committed to work while they're at work. Initiative, seeing a problem, taking steps to solve it, jumping in to see what needs to be done and taking care of it. Interpersonal skills, if you can relate well to others, that's important. Flexibility, adaptability, teamwork, analytical skills, problem solving, technical and computer skills. And it's interesting, with as much technology as we have growing as an industry in this area, that computer skills actually are the 10th one on the list. That employers are more concerned about communication, work ethic, initiative, teamwork, and our personal skills, the soft skills. Okay, for a successful job search, there are several steps that you need to take. And before you even start with your job search and with doing your homework, the first thing to do actually is to figure out what kind of job you're looking for. If you are a math major, are you looking for a finance-related job? Are you looking for a business analyst job? If you're an accountant, are you looking for tax? Are you looking for audit? Are you looking for staff accountant? If you're in a kinesiology major, do you want to work with a physical therapy clinic or a hospital or a doctor's group? Where is it that you want to apply your skills? Where do you see yourself working? If you know what kind of job you're looking for, and then you know what employers you want to target, that helps you to focus that job search. And I would tell you, excuse me, as a soon-to-be or recent college graduate, you don't want to have the idea for yourself you'll take anything, it doesn't matter, because really it does matter. And if your job search is focused, if you have two, no more than three specific job titles that you're focused on, then your job search can be much more productive. If you're applying for everything that's out there and you start getting emails and phone calls from people that you've never heard of and don't know who they are, it's really confusing and overwhelming. So don't apply for everything that's out there. Do yourself the favor of identifying what specifically you're looking for. Okay, you need time and planning and preparation to do your job search. Be flexible. Cast your net as broadly as you can. In other words, consider all the different kinds of employers that would hire someone to do the job that you're looking for. Use multiple job sources, because employers use multiple sources to find candidates. So you want to not use just the internet or not use just the newspaper. You want to use a variety of resources as you cast your net out there. Create your own possibilities, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit in a minute. in terms of networking, but the statistics show that job offers, maybe 10% of job offers received come as a result of internet job searching alone. 15% maybe as a result of applying for posted job positions. And 75% or more come as a result of networking. That's your people-to-people direct connection with other people that know other people who know other people. And we're going to talk about that as well. So 85% of the jobs that are out there probably are unadvertised. And what you do with networking and with talking to people and making direct contact with people is tap into those things that nobody's posted yet. And you would ask the question, well, if the jobs are open, why are they not posted? You look at it from the employer's perspective. They have one job and 35,000 applicants. And it's going to make it really difficult for them to narrow that pool down. So they think, well, gee, I really don't want to post this because I have to deal with all those resumes. And if I just knew somebody that had a friend that would do this job, I'd be happy. And that's how networking works. So you tap into someone, talk with someone who knows somebody else, and that person has a conversation about jobs. Sometimes you can tap into something that's not even going to be posted. Now, corporations, big companies, most companies maybe have some procedures to follow, some standards to meet. Legally, they have to post jobs, but if they already know the people that are applying for that position, the people that they know have a greater chance at that job. Okay, allow plenty of time. A successful job search can take as much as 6 months, maybe even longer, depending on the job you're searching for and how many of those posts, how many openings are out there. Keep records and follow up. Do any of you use Excel? Okay, so you know if you're new to use Excel, you know how to create spreadsheets, you know how to create those tabs at the bottom. You can use Excel to make a log for yourself. With all those tabs, keep track of things like jobs that you applied for and when, potential employers that you're interested in, potential networking contacts, people that you did contact and what that conversation was like and what you learned and when you should follow up. So you can make tabs for yourself to keep track of that job search and keep it organized. Yes, ma'am?
And actually, in your job search guide booklet, there's a sample log sheet for tracking that kind of information, and Excel would be a great way to do that. It's on page 8.
Yeah, there's a lot of good information in the brochure that Ms. Williams put on your seats for you. That she takes you through step by step how to do all these things that you need to do for your job search. So that's a great resource for you. Take care of yourself. That's why the picture of the kids playing on the beach is in there. A job search is very stressful. And not to mention if you're trying to conduct your job search on top of a full class load and midterms and finals and graduation and maybe even getting married in there, it's very stressful. And you do need to take care of yourself, get plenty of rest, get plenty of good food to eat, take time for recreation and doing nice things for yourself because that helps your mental attitude, it helps with relaxation, and when you're relaxed and mentally sharp and happy, then you take that with you to your job interviews. Okay, next, job search strategies. Okay, know specifically what you want and set those goals. I talked about that a little bit earlier. Know what kind of job you want, know what the timeline is, and set the little goals along the way that are going to help you get there. Be sure your resume is focused and it reflects your current objective. And when you do the resume workshop, you'll get some tips and strategies for doing that. But your resume, if you're looking for 3 specific jobs, then your resume could have 3 specific formats. One for a tax accountant, one for an auditor, one for a staff accountant, because those employers may be looking for some specifically different things that need to be reflected on your resume. Okay, approach prospective employers in a professional but personable way. And that means be cognizant of their time and the pressures that they're under as employers, but you can also be assertive or independent or confident in a nice, friendly way, and that will get you much further than being aggressive and arrogant. And that's one thing that we have to remember when we're job seekers is because we have a college degree that does not entitle us to a job. We still have to go out there and find that job and earn the respect of the employers. Okay, no specifically, oh, there's a last one. Approach as many prospective employers as you can. So here's some ways to do that. And we're going to talk about researching employers. Use your TWU Career Center. They have their pulse on all the employment things that are going on in your particular area. Use online resources such as Vault, Hoovers.com, LinkedIn, Glassdoor.com. These are some really useful tools for researching employers. And there's another one that your library may have access to for you as a student. Would be LexisNexis. Sherry, do you know if the library uses LexisNexis?
I'm not sure.
It's a great, if they do, it's a paid prescription kind of thing, but if the library has that available for you, you can do all kinds of employer research in there. If you're interested in a particular employer, you can look them up in Lexis and then look up all the other employers in your area that do the same thing. So if you're that, it's a really great tool. Hoovers.com you can go to online. It's you can have a paid subscription to that, but there's a free segment where you can just get basic information about employers, and it'll include things like their profit or loss for the last year, how big they are, what they do. So basic research, and you can learn quite a lot that way. LinkedIn, I'm going to demonstrate for you in a few minutes. That is professional online networking that's not just networking for job seekers, it's also networking now for employers. Employers often use it to find job seekers, and so you want to set up an account for yourself that helps employers find you. Glassdoor.com is an interesting website. It's free, but in order to use it, you have to do two things. If you want to research employers and find out what kinds of salaries they pay for people, then you have to fill out a profile. It can remain anonymous. You can choose to be anonymous. But you fill out a profile about an employer that you've worked for and some salary information and post that. That entitles you to research what other employers are paying in Glassdoor. And then also, if you want to know about, let's see, salaries and like job titles, then you would fill out information about jobs that you've had, just one, and then post that. Again, it can be anonymous, but that entitles you to search Glassdoor for that information as well. And it's a forum where people go enter information. They sometimes gripe about employers, they sometimes complain, they sometimes brag about employers, but people will get online and provide all kinds of information about things, and that's where you can go to learn about salary figures, job titles, what an employer is like, whether they're fair, whether they're nice, whether they're terrible. So it's another tool that you can use. And with that, you can also get an email update every once in a while that says, these things that you asked about have been posted recently, take a look. And you can do all of that for free. Okay, so we're going to talk about LinkedIn in a couple of minutes, and I want to demonstrate, I'm going to use my account to show you how it works, so we'll talk about that in a minute. Newspapers, especially the business section, that's a great way to see what employers are in your area, what kind of jobs that they're hiring. They have ads in there and jobs posted, but also you can learn what's going on in your community. Often in the Dallas News, in the business section, you read about a new company. And sometimes that company might be one that you're interested in connecting with. It could be a great networking opportunity. And there's networking, of course. That's going to be the biggest factor for getting your name and some recognition out there. Okay, where to start with LinkedIn? This is actually some handouts. Sherry, I'll let you pass these out. I brought these handouts. They are from LinkedIn's pages, and we have LinkedIn's permission to copy these because it's public knowledge. LinkedIn is a public website for professional networking. You can establish an account for free. You could pay for a premium account, but most people don't need to even think about that. You can set up your profile in there if you want your profile to have professional information about you. Your profile can serve as a mini resume. You can link to other people in LinkedIn. So you can upload your entire address book and then pick people that you want to connect with on LinkedIn. If they're on LinkedIn, it will tell you. If they're not on LinkedIn, then you can email and ask them to connect with you on LinkedIn. The more connections you have in LinkedIn, the better your chances are of connecting with other people that maybe have some information that is interesting for you or might know other people that you should connect with. So you want to have your contacts in there. They say for a LinkedIn account to be successful and really usable, you need to have between 35 and 50 connections in LinkedIn. When you, I am actually connected with Sherry on LinkedIn. So if I were to look at Sherry's profile, I would be able to see who her connections are. And if I looked at her connections and spotted a name that I knew, and I'm not connected to that person, I could email Sherry and say, Sherry, I see that you're connected to so-and-so over at Texas Instruments. Would you mind introducing me? And Sherry would say, sure, here's her email address. Or Sherry would say to her contact through LinkedIn, my friend Janie would like to connect with you. Would you please email her? And if that was the case, then I would connect with that person with the hope of setting up a meeting. It could be an online email meeting, or we might even get to meet in person at Starbucks and sit down and talk about that person's company. But the more people you know, the more people you connect with, the better chance you have of connecting with people that are going to be helpful for you. So here's LinkedIn's main page. And you can see at the very beginning that you have the option to join LinkedIn. On this page, if you already were in LinkedIn, you would just sign in. Okay, next, if you want to know how to use LinkedIn, go to learn.linkedin.com. And they have, this is only half the page, they have the links there to the pages that you have on the handout, how to do professional networking, how to set up your profile, how to do employer research. There's step-by-step information about how to do things. And LinkedIn also, once you get your account set up, you can ask LinkedIn to send you information about webinars. They do free webinars all the time. And they're just half hour, 45 minute things that you can watch or listen to on the web that tell you how to use LinkedIn to do the next great thing. So it's really a very impressive tool. The marvel of it is that it's free, and it really does pay off for you in terms of what you can accomplish as far as professional online networking goes. Let me see if I can take a second. Whoops, go back. Okay, how did we decide we were going to
arrow back?
Get back to the web.
Your little arrow's right there.
Okay.
And you can keep arrowing back if you need to.
Oh, wait. Here we go. I'm going to end the show for a second. Okay, here's my LinkedIn account. When you have your account set up and you go to LinkedIn and you sign in, this is the page that you will see. Here you see home, profile, contacts, groups, jobs, inbox, and more. People can send you messages on LinkedIn, and those mails will be in your inbox. You can have one picture of yourself. It should be somewhat of a professional picture. And if any of your connections have pictures, then you'll see their pictures. This share and update, this is your networking activity. That's not a place where you enter like you do on Facebook that you went to a party and had a great time. That would be where you would say, I'm currently reading XYZ book. This is a marvelous book for anybody that's looking for something. You would say, I went to a conference and met some wonderful people who helped me learn more about this. Or I'm taking a course where I'm learning how to do tax accounting and I am fascinated with this. It's just a professional kind of note that you put up there on your account. Okay, if you go to your profile and view your profile, whoops. Okay, I'm editing my profile. These are all the things that you can do with your profile. How many of these? Okay, here's your summary. And it tells you, it's what you decide to say about yourself as a professional. And then, whoops, your experience. And you can always edit these things. Your education can go in here. All this information can go in there. And then you will have, okay, can you hear me when my back is turned to you? Okay, you can have a specific profile for the public. And that will be what anybody sees if they find you on LinkedIn, but they are not connected to you. And that would be simply what, and you can control what information goes in here. So here's, whoops, there's my public profile. Let that happen. Okay, there's my public profile. You can see these groups that I belong to. There are groups in LinkedIn that you can connect with. And there. Okay, there are groups that you can connect with on LinkedIn. And if you know people that are in those groups, then you can look at those contacts. And you can also get updates and emails from those groups. I have, for instance, tweetmyjobs.com, and that's from Twitter. And it's a group in Twitter that just simply posts jobs. There's a group in LinkedIn that's called A Job Needed and A Job Posted. There it is. And if I were to go to that group, I would see that's all that group does is post jobs. And those people are very particular about posting jobs. If somebody puts something up there that's something different, they'll take it down. They monitor that site very closely. But these are discussions within A Job Needed, A Job Posted. And sometimes there are jobs posted, sometimes there are people asking about getting a job. So that's one one tool in LinkedIn. Okay, if you wanted to know if there were a group of TWU students on LinkedIn or alums, there's Texas Woman's University, and look at that, there are 934 people connected to that group. And if you were to join that group, you would request to join the group, and you would get this screen where you have a chance to say, I want an email from them once a day, or I want it once a week, so you can control how much information you get from all these groups. And I know from this group that they would check to see if you were an alumni first, and then they would send you an email that says you've been accepted. So I'm not going to bother to join it because I know that they won't accept me. Okay, so I would maybe look for the National Association of Colleges and Employers, and there's catering executives, there's NACE International, so you sometimes have to play with how you plug in the name of a group, but it's a huge thing. Okay, now we're going to go also and look for companies. Somebody tell me the name of a company that you would be interested in.
Can you try Doctor's Data?
Doctor's Data? Mm-hmm.
Doctor's Data.
Data Doctors? Maybe not. I don't see one that's exactly that name.
Mm-mm, it's out of Illinois.
Of Illinois, okay.
They may not have a...
Okay, as an example, though, let's say you were looking for Alliance Healthcare.
Sure.
Okay, so we would click on Alliance Healthcare, and look at all this information over here that you can learn about Alliance Healthcare. How many employees they have, there will be there's not very much information. Okay. Sometimes there's a list there of the most popular job titles that people have who are members of that group and are in LinkedIn. This logistics analyst, Mark T, if I knew Mark, there would be a 1 by his name. If I knew somebody that knew Mark, there would be a 2 by his name. And if I knew somebody that knew somebody that knew Mark, there would be a three. That's as far as it goes. But if there's a two by that person's name, it will tell you who the connection is that you have in common. So if I wanted to talk with Mark and there was a two by his name and it said that Sherry knew him, then I would connect with Sherry and say, could you help introduce me to Mark? So it's a huge way for you to find people, okay, and companies. Let me go back up here. You can find people, companies, groups, jobs. Let's see. And you can get very advanced with a job search. You can even search for jobs for employers that have TWU connections, okay? But if you were looking for physical therapist, how many jobs? 466 physical therapy jobs listed on LinkedIn. And I see faces going like, So it's a huge thing. And I could spend all afternoon demonstrating this. But the thing about LinkedIn is that it enables you to connect with people. There's how many millions of people in LinkedIn. And you know some of them. And the ones that you know other people. So it's a huge tool. And I would really encourage you. It's reputable. It's a great tool. And I would encourage you to do that one. And I would also bring up the other subject of things like Facebook. Are you on Facebook? Or MySpace? On Facebook, I know you can have a professional, separate professional profile, but you want to make sure that anything that's on Facebook is clean. Because employers are using Facebook not only to find people, but to find out about people, and even to find out about people that they've already hired. And if they find things on Facebook, be careful even of what pictures of you are on your friends' Facebook pages and what's in the background of that picture. If you're applying for a teaching position at a Montessori elementary school and your friends took a picture of you and there's a big beer sign behind you, that's not going to go over too well. So be aware of what's out on the internet about you, not on your own page, not only on your own page, but on everybody else's pages. Okay. So we're going to go back to our slideshow, but before I do, do we have any questions? It'd be a good time to maybe stop and answer a couple of questions. Yep, we're all just so impressed with LinkedIn. You just want to go home on your computer, don't you? Okay. More job search strategies. Work at gathering information rather than asking for jobs. That's the key to networking. You ask people, who do you know that I should be talking to? If there's a job or an employer that you're interested in, find someone to talk to where you can ask questions, gather information, learn. That's what informational interviewing is all about. And it gives you a chance to see what a job is like from the inside and to get somebody's perspective on it if that's a job that they do. So those of you, are all three of you kinesiology majors? Okay, so what do you think you want to do with your major?
Physical therapy.
Excuse me?
Physical therapy.
Physical therapy. Okay, well, it's 466 jobs. Okay, so where do you want to do physical therapy? At a hospital, at a clinic, for a sports team? Excuse me?
Haven't decided yet.
Okay, so you might want to go talk to a physical therapist who works in a hospital and just interview that person to get information. You might want to talk to someone that works with as a trainer for a sports team. Wherever it is that you think you'd like to be, talk to people that are in those areas because they can help you understand what the job is really like, what the environment is like, and you can get advice. And I would tell you, I heard this at a presentation one time, that college students are like puppies and kittens. Everybody loves puppies and kittens. So if you call somebody and you say, I'm a college student majoring in kinesiology, they're going to go, aw. But if you tell them, I just graduated with my degree in kinesiology, and they go, okay, she wants a job. And it's a whole different thing. Then you're a dog or a cat. So contact people while you're still puppies and kittens. Okay. Keep it real rather than virtual. There are benefits to doing things on the internet, and yes, that's one of your greatest tools. But also, you need to be meeting people, talking with people in person in real time. Okay. Be proactive and take initiative, and that has to do as much with your job search as it does with, it has more to do with your job search and your actual application process, because you don't want to apply and then just wait to see what happens. Keep contact with where you've applied to, keep a connection going, follow through on things, follow up on things, be proactive. Don't wait for things to come to you, because there are lots of other people out there who are trying to get the same jobs that you are. Okay, focus on the employer needs and the perspectives of the employers. We know that we have a college degree coming, we have training, we've maybe done an internship or a practicum, we've done labs, we've taken classes, we've done exercises and projects, and we're ready to do this work. But if you think about it from the employer's perspective, they are looking at you as a brand new college graduate with no experience. So it's going to be your job to convince the employer what you bring to the table that's going to benefit them. So think about this also from their perspective. What are they looking for, and how do you match that? And avoid overlooking your own selling points. You have strengths. You have things that you've learned. You've had experience you've gained through whatever things you've been doing. And you need to know what those selling points are and not be afraid to talk to employers about those. Okay, pre-application strategies. This is a big slide, but these are things that you need to do before you even apply for jobs. And that includes networking, researching employers, knowing the market, knowing what kinds of jobs you want, knowing what kinds of jobs are out there for your major, continually updating your self-knowledge. If you graduate and you're still a few months down the road, or you take one job and then you're unemployed for a while and you're thinking about something else, look and see what kinds of further education or certification or training or courses you need to take. If not back at TWU, then maybe with the community college. What kinds of updating does your education need to keep you current? Okay, be sure you have business cards. Do any of you have business cards? You can get them fairly inexpensively at like Staples and Office Max. You can get some online for free, and all you pay for is the shipping. Sometimes those companies want you to have their logo on the back, so you have to debate whether you want to spend a little bit more to not have that logo. But your business card can very simply have your name, your email address, and your phone number. It could have a couple of words on there that would be kind of your brand. If you're a tax accountant, or if you're a kinesiologist, or if you're a physical therapist, that can be on there. But you don't want your business card to limit you. So sometimes it can be just appropriate to have name, email, and phone number. But that's your tool to introduce yourself to people. When you do give that card to somebody, put a note on the back for them about where they met you, what you talked about, and what the date was, so that they'll remember when they see it next time. But also for yourself, when you're collecting business cards, if they don't do that on the card that they give you, then you do it. Write down who that person is, what you talked to them about, where you met them, when, maybe some special note. Because when you reconnect with that person later, that card will tell you what it was that you talked about. It'll be a little reminder. So definitely have cards. Join professional and business associations or civic groups or any place where you can network and connect with people that are in a field similar to yours. Responding to the visible job market. These are the jobs that are actually posted. They're on the web, they're in the newspaper, they're maybe in magazines or on bulletin boards. Send your original letter of application along with your resume. The resume should be targeted to that particular position. Follow up by phone after an appropriate amount of time. You can do that. Follow up to make sure they received your application or your resume. Complete and return all the forms and materials that they ask you for. Learn as much as possible about the employer himself or herself and the job opportunity. And interview for the position. Those are hopefully all of that will get you the interview. With the follow-up by phone, that's important even when you've submitted things electronically. And I would say electronically be aware of what your subject line says in your email. And make sure it sounds professional. It can be simply applying for job posting number so-and-so or the name of the position. Sometimes spam filters, if there's a number in your resume, like you had the good fortune to sell $1 million in real estate, the spam filter might see that $1 million figure and throw it in the trash because they'll figure it's a marketing ploy. So your follow-up phone call would prompt that person to look in their spam folder and see if your email went in there. So it's really important to be proactive in following up. You don't have to be aggressive, but you can be assertive, and you can be confident and personable and friendly, just making sure that your name stays in the pile. Okay, send a thank you letter after you've had an interview. And I would say the same if you do an informational interview with someone that you want to learn about the job that they do, send them a thank you note afterward, because that was professional use of their time, and you should be appreciative of that. When you get an offer, clarify their decision, and don't be too quick to accept it or reject it. Especially the acceptance, when we're at the point where we think almost we'll take any job, it doesn't matter, and you have a job interview and someone calls you back and says, I'm going to offer you this job at this figure. Thank them for the offer and ask them when they need to hear from you, because you don't want to accept it, even if it's the job you've been waiting for your whole life. You don't want to accept it right there on the phone. Give yourself a few minutes a day to think about it, weigh all the options, make your pros and cons list. But be sure that that's okay with the employer. So when do you need your decision? May I have a day to think about this? Could I call you tomorrow and let you know what my decision is? And always thank them for the offer, but buy yourself a little bit of time. And don't be too quick to reject it, because you still want to have time to think about it. Your verbal yes is considered binding, just like a handshake used to be, just like a signed contract is. It really is binding. So if you say yes, and then 5 minutes later you get a phone call with a better offer, it's not good to call that first employer and say, gee, I'm sorry, I've changed my mind. And one reason for that not being good is it's really not ethical. It's not right. You gave your word. Now you're going back on your word. There are always circumstances, and people change their minds, and that can happen. But especially in an area like Denton, where so many people know each other, if you turn down this employer after you said yes, and then you hire on with this employer, and then this one goes to this one's place for lunch, say, oh, she's the one that I hired, she turned around and quit the day after I hired her, that's not going to go over well. So people know people who know people. So everybody knows people. Okay, tapping the hidden job market. This is what I was talking about a few minutes ago, the 85% of the jobs that aren't posted anywhere yet.
Jamie, if I could interject for just one second before we get to the hidden job market, I just want to let those of you who are looking for jobs know that we do post jobs at different companies than us on our webpage. On the back side of that brochure, it lists career services, and then you'll see a section for job posting, and that's where we post different jobs that we receive, and that's full-time, part-time, on and off campus. So current students and alumni can take a look at that to look for jobs as well.
Do students need a special account to do that, Sherry?
No special account or anything. You can just go directly
right there
to the webpage.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay. Do you all have any other questions? Or anything you want to ask back to Sherry? Okay, so we will talk about tapping that hidden job market. Networking is the key. And I've probably used that word 100 times this afternoon already, but it really is perhaps the most important thing about your job search to help you be successful. Informational interviews is one way to accomplish that networking. And if you went to speak with someone who was a, what kind of accounting are you interested in?
I'm looking more to the federal.
Excuse me?
I work with the federal government.
Federal government, okay. So if you're looking for federal government accounting related positions, right? Do you know anybody who works for the federal government yet?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So if you were to go sit down and talk with that person, you could do an informational interview with that person, ask them all your questions related to what it's like to work for the government, how to do your application process, what advice they would have. Also get that person to refer you to a couple of other people. Ask them, who else do you know that I should be talking to? And that way, you've met one person, you come away with three names, so now you know four. And the other three, if you call them and say that my friend John referred me to you, then they almost automatically are going to listen a little closer because they know John and they like John. So they think it's cool. If he referred you, then yes, they're going to talk to you. So that networking and informational interviewing is two huge ways to expand that network. Letters of inquiry are when you write to an employer and send your resume, possibly, just to see what it is that, how you might connect with them or what the possibilities are for a meeting or for even a job posting. Recruiting fairs, temporary work. Don't forget temporary staffing. A lot of companies that have had difficulty maintaining a full staff of full-time workers over the last couple of years, if they're getting back into the hiring picture, they may be wanting to hire temporary staff and then see how that works out. So that can be a great place for you to begin to get experience. You can put that on your resume, and when you're doing a temporary job, you're making connections. Volunteer work is very important. If you're an accounting major and you graduate and you don't have a job yet and you're in that job search, there's two things about volunteering. One is you can volunteer for an organization and help them organize their books. That's a project that could go on your resume. But also mentally and emotionally, if you're out there helping other people, you feel better. And the third thing is, if you're out there helping other people, you're needy. So you're doing three things at once. Go to professional conferences, chambers of commerce, civic organizations. All these places are places where you can meet people. Websites and directories like LinkedIn. Does TWU have an organized alumni group or alumni relations office?
They do. Uh-huh.
And so you should be able to connect with them and make sure that you're in the mix, in the pool of directory contacts, perhaps, for the Alumni Association. And you can find other people that you went to class with. Professional networking groups and persistence. That's the important thing, is persistence. Okay, if you needed to improve your English skills, these are ways that you could do that. Donna, thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
There are ways you can do that. This will help. And there are many of us need some confidence about public speaking or about conducting interviews. You can practice for interviewing, yes, but things like Toastmasters and accent reduction groups or accent workshops can help people learn better public speaking skills. And so there are some things you can do to help yourself practice your English skills if you should need to do that. And job sources. You can look at newspapers, association materials like newsletters, family, colleagues, friends, classmates, job fairs, networking groups, employer homepages. Of course, those will have postings on them. Professional association homepages, search engines, thousands of career and job search websites. And with as much technology as out there, as many focused job sites as there are three or four ways to find things really easily. And one is simply Mr. Google. If you just Google what it is you want to know, he is so intuitive, and he's liable to even ask you if you meant to spell it that way. But you will see all kinds of things. If you're interested in nursing jobs in Denton County, then just Google that. What you'll find is a list of jobs that are posted possibly different places, but you may get to see who the employers are that posted the jobs. There's a site called, a search engine called Indeed.com. And if you plug in nursing jobs, Denton, Texas, it'll pull up all the postings, and you can see from the postings which company or hospital or group had that job posting. Indeed.com searches company websites for postings. So it's not like Monster, where you're going to apply to the big cloud in the sky and not know where your application went. If you apply to a job that's posted in Indeed, your application, your button when you hit that, goes to that company's website, and you're on their website doing things their way. So that's a nice plus there. Okay, what about headhunters and search firms? If you feel like you'd like to try a headhunter, ask some questions first. Ask your friends and other colleagues if they've ever used a headhunter, which ones would they use and would they recommend them? And then talk to the headhunter firm yourself. Ask questions. How much of the work are you going to have to do to conduct that job search? If you're going to have to do all the work and then give the leads to the headhunter, you might as well just do your own job search. And if the headhunter is paid, that's a good question to ask them, is how they're paid. If they're paid on contingency, then they're not paid until they fill a position. But if they're paid on retainer, they're paid by that company whether they fill a position or not. So the ones that are hungrier are going to be working harder for you. So keep that one in mind. How long will the process take? If they tell you it's going to be a year or longer, then possibly you don't want to use that headhunter. You want to just conduct that job search, focus on it yourself. Get some help from the TWU Career Center. And how are, can they provide you with a list of other candidates that they've worked with? Because if they'll do that, you can talk to the other candidates, you can get a better idea of how what to expect from that company. So ask those questions. And 3 months later, if you're getting interviews, but you still don't have a job, if you're getting interviews, good. If you're not, then here's some things to look at. Possibly your resume and your letters need some help. Maybe you're casting your net too closely. Maybe you need to consider relocating or looking a little bit farther away. How many contacts are you making? How focused are you on this job search? Kind of review all these things that you've been doing. And if you are getting interviews but you're not getting the job, then there's a good chance that your interview skills need some updating and some help. So practice answering interview questions. Do mock interviews. Sherry, does the Career Center conduct mock interviews?
We sure do.
Okay, and will you do them for alums?
We sure will.
Okay, so if you're 3 months past graduation, getting interviews but not getting the job, then connect with the career services to do a mock interview, practice interview, because it can be immensely helpful. Prepare for the questions that you're going to get. Know yourself really well. Be comfortable talking about your skills and your experiences and what you bring to the table. Redefine your goals and your expectations. Possibly the specific job that you're looking for is one that there's not so many of posted, but maybe there's something similar that you could be doing. So kind of reevaluate how you're focusing that job search. Sign up with a temporary agency. That can be a really good place to get your foot in the door somewhere, and volunteer someplace. And practice and network and do that over and over and over again. And I think that probably is about the last slide. Oh, I couldn't resist this picture. It's fall. It's a college campus. Obviously, these are college students. Come back to campus and reconnect with the Career Services office because they're there to help you. And then here are some of the resources where statistics and information came from for this presentation today.
And I'm just going to interject one more time before we conclude. Janie mentioned some places where you could search for jobs. I also wanted to add that on page 39 of the job search guide, there's some job search websites. Some of the ones she mentioned, such as Indeed.com, are listed there. LinkedIn is listed. There's several others. They're categorized by searching for jobs, by location, then preparation for the job search. So there's some that help you with preparing for the job search as well. So various job search websites. I also wanted to mention the Yellow Pages as another tool. I've used that when working with students. When you know what type of facility you want to work in, you can use the Yellow Pages. It's just www.yp.com.
You can even get that on your phone.
Oh, really? Yep. Okay. I'm not quite that advanced yet.
I have an older phone. But that way, or just the usual internet, and you could put in hospitals, for example, and get a list of hospitals, and you can put it in by city, and it'll give you a list of those by city. So you can search by facility. So that's another resource to assist you. Do any of you have any questions on any of this information? No questions?
Well, I hope we took it from overwhelming to, okay, I think maybe I can manage this kind of idea. And any help you need from your career services, Sherry's there to help you.
Most definitely.
Well, if there's no questions, please join me in thanking our presenter, Jamie, today.
Thank you for having me.